The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 13th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make their nests in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast. A woman took and hid in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. Jesus told the crowd all these things in parables. Without a parable, he told them nothing. This was to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah. I will open my mouth to speak in parables. I will proclaim what has been hidden from the foundation of the world. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. When it was full, they drew it ashore, sat down, and put the good into baskets, but threw out the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all this? The disciples answered, yes. And he said to them, therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a household who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. When Jesus finished these parables, he left that place. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. I want to invite the children forward this morning. It seems I have a bit of a mystery on my hands, so come on up. I need some help. I can't find my ferrule, and I just can't move forward without it. Can you guys help me find my ferrule? Come on up. Come on. I can't find my ferrule anywhere. Can you guys help me find it? Don't stop. Move around. Look for my ferrule, would you? Come on. What? You don't know? Oh, you don't know what it means? Oh. Can you guys help me find my ferrule? Come on, get up and help me find my ferrule. They don't know what it is either. It's the metal piece on the end of my pencil that holds the eraser. And I can't find it anywhere. Can you guys find it? Well, that was easy for you. There it is, my ferrule. Now I can move forward. Oh, thank you. Oh, spring. So, in chapter 6 of Matthew's Gospel, the Gospel we're in these days, Jesus tells his disciples to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things, the things that we need for life, will be given to us as well. And in chapter 13, it seems like Jesus is telling his disciples through parables that when you see the kingdom, this is what it'll look like. Because I think it was like you guys. I was asking you to find something that you didn't know what it meant for sure. And so when Jesus says, seek the kingdom in chapter 6, now in chapter 13 in these parables, he's telling us so that when we see that kingdom of God, we'll know it. Okay, so I'm not going to tell you what all that means. That's what I'm going to do in the bigger sermon today. So I want you to listen to the sermon today. And I want you to listen to what that kingdom of God looks like so that when you see it, just like Silas saw the ferrule, when you see it, you'll know what you're looking for. Because I could have left that lay there and not told you what a ferrule was, and you would have looked right at it and not seen it, right? And that's the same with the kingdom. Sometimes if we don't know what we're looking for, we might see it but not understand. So Jesus wants us to know what we're looking for when we look for the kingdom. So let's pray. Jesus, give us eyes to see your kingdom. Give us hearts of faith to live your kingdom, to be people of your kingdom, to enact that kingdom. Strengthen us to follow you, not in this world, not in the ways of the world, but in the ways of your kingdom, the life-giving way that only you can give. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for coming up, and especially thanks for helping me find that for rule. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you want to, I'd encourage you to take out your Bible this morning, your pew Bible. We're going to kind of jump around a little bit. And of course, we've been in Matthew 13 for a while now. But again, I think for purposes of the sermon today, we need to really start in the Sermon on the Mount, chapters 5, 6, and 7. And in that sermon, Jesus encourages his listeners, saying, don't be anxious about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, what you will wear. He says, your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. But first, he says, therefore, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. A deep and abiding promise. You guys don't have any reason to be anxious these days, do you? It seems like in Forest City there's always some reasons to be a bit anxious. Whether they're good reasons or not, I don't know. Simply being part of a family, there are reasons, often reasons, to be anxious. And so to hear that promise, therefore seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well, is to receive that promise is a bit like Solomon. It's a piece of wisdom, isn't it? To know that there's someone else in charge of our tomorrow. Jesus says, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow has enough worries of its own. This is again in chapter 6. He says, take care of today's trouble and let your heavenly Father take care of tomorrow. Therefore, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. No matter what the anxiety is, we can find peace in that promise. We can find a promise that's worth standing on, that's worth building our lives on. In chapter 6, again, Jesus teaches his disciples to pray, saying, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. What's the next line? Your kingdom come. Jesus, it seems, is teaching his disciples, those who will follow him, to seek that kingdom. To seek first that kingdom of God and God's life-giving ways. But the problem is, will we recognize the kingdom when we see it? And so, as I told the children in chapter 13, it seems as though Jesus is teaching in parables what the kingdom of God will look like. In chapter 13, if you want to go there now, chapter 13, verse 10, Jesus, the disciples of Jesus come to him, and they ask him, why are you teaching in parables? To me, that's a clue that they don't quite get these parables. They don't quite understand them, regardless of what they say in today's text from Matthew. Jesus says, do you understand these things? And they say, yes. And really, it's a deflection. They're overwhelmed. They don't want to show their foolishness. But earlier in chapter or verse 10 of 13, they say, why are you teaching in parables? And Jesus says, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but not so for them. And then he quotes the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, again, bringing out of Jesus' own treasury that which is old, that from the prophets, and blending it with his new life-giving mission. Later in, earlier again in Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8, Jesus gives another promise. He says, "Ask and it will be given to you." Many of you know this. If you know it, repeat it with me. "Seek and you will. Knock and the door will be. For everyone who asks will. And everyone who seeks will. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be." So we turn to the parables. We seek, we ask, we knock. We ask Jesus to give us understanding. The parables aren't something that a preacher can preach on once and give you all the answers. Parables are meant to be told to listeners who will do their own work. And so I'm going to give you some of the results of the work that I've been doing, but encourage you to take these parables home and do your own work with them. The first parable that Jesus tells in today's text is the parable of the mustard seed. It's the smallest of the seeds. But when it grows, it becomes a large shrub, tree-like even. And the birds come and make their nest in it. The birds come. That's a key word. The birds come to the mustard plant. And there they find home. They find a place. They find a space in the midst of their vulnerable and anxious life. Jesus had talked about the birds earlier, again in that Sermon on the Mount, that key piece of Matthew's gospel that seems to affect everything else he says throughout the gospel. "Consider the birds of the air," he says. "They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them." The birds come. They come to be fed. They come to find life. They come to find a place of life and goodness. In Psalm 90, we hear this verse in the opening of that psalm, "O Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. From generation, you are God. O Lord, you have been our dwelling place from all generations." What a testimony to the goodness of the Lord. What a testimony to the Lord who is with the Lord's people generation after generation to give a place, to give life, to give that abiding place and space and life-giving relationship to those who come. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and mixed or hid in 50 pounds of flour until it was all leavened. Unleavened bread was used for a quick exit from Egypt. Hebrews 8, unleavened bread to remember a time of homelessness. Using leavening in bread is significant in this parable. It suggests that when leavening is used, that there is a rootedness about the kingdom of God, that there is something substantial and steadfast, that there's an anchor involved in the kingdom. Again, a place of abiding life that is open for those who come, a place of belonging for all, a place that will not be uprooted. That comes from last week's parable as well. "Shall we go out and pull the weeds?" And Jesus says, "No, let them abide until the end of time. For in uprooting those weeds, you may uproot the plants as well, the wheat as well." There is something steadfast about this kingdom that we can count on in times of anxiety, in times of fear, and in times of hopelessness. The kingdom is steadfast and it does not change. Its promises are solid and secure. Another piece of good news from this little one-verse parable is that a lot of people will be fed. 50 pounds of flour is a lot of flour. Last week, The men of council, last Wednesday, we fed those who come for Wednesday night meals. And we used 10 pounds of flour and made a whole lot of pancakes. But 50 pounds of flour would make a whole lot of bread. Jesus fed 5,000 and 4,000 with just a few loaves and a few fish. What could Jesus do with 50 pounds? One of my favorite yeast stories comes from when Renee and I were first married. And I hadn't warned her that I was going to tell this story, but maybe you had to be there. But again, we were so young when we were married. We were living on the farm and, you know, we didn't have anything, and so we didn't want to waste anything. I mean, I made her share tea bags with me, so we didn't use two tea bags at one meal. She was going to make bread one morning, and so she had it all mixed up, and for some reason it wasn't rising, and so she took it out and hid it under our bushes so I wouldn't see that she was wasting it. Our veterinarian happened to stop by that morning to take care of some of our animals, and for some reason we had to go to the house, and as we were standing by the front door, he noticed this mound of yellowish stuff rising up out of the earth, and he went over and kicked it. The warmth of the earth made that dough rise. It made that yeast kick into gear, into action, and the dough started to rise up out of the earth, and the secret was uncovered. And Renee had to confess her wastefulness. I didn't make her pull it out of the earth and bake it, thank goodness. But the warmth of the kingdom, like the warmth of the earth, makes things rise. It makes the dead to rise. It makes those who are hopeless to rise. It makes the light to rise. It makes a people arise. Because we have the promises and the surety of the foundation upon which we stand, the foundation of the kingdom of God. And a lot of people will be fed. The world will be a different place because of that warmth and that welcome and that goodness. In Matthew chapter 15, Jesus is talking about lighting a lamp, and he says, when you light a lamp, you don't hide it under a bushel. No, you put it on a stand to give light to all who see. That's what we are called to do. We are called to be people of hope and people of light. We are to be people of the one who makes things rise by being warm and welcoming and a place of goodness and life. Building community in the name and likeness of Jesus Christ. When we do that, things will rise and life will change. Again, there's an interlude that we skip for the most part. Most of it's an explanation of last week's parable, again, the wheat and the weeds. But Jesus, in the early verses of 34 and following, quotes Isaiah, "I will open my mouth in parables. I will announce what has been hidden from the foundation of the world." Jesus is here demonstrating what he talks about at the end of today's text. He takes out of his treasury that which is old, the word of the prophet, the promise of the prophet, the promise of God that comes to the people through the prophet. And he combines that, Jesus combines that with his new life-giving message and with the kingdom that he brings. And so he continues in verse 44, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in the field that is found, and when found, hidden again, and that man goes and sells all that he has and buys that field." The kingdom of God cannot be purchased. That treasure is so valuable, it cannot be bought. The Hebrew people, I believe, understood that you really can't even buy a field. You can invest in it, you can use it, you can care for it and steward it. You can bless it so that it blesses you for the span of your life. But you really can't possess the field, and no more can you possess the kingdom, and you cannot buy it. But when you find the kingdom of heaven, you will suddenly realize that your grip on other things is loosened. I came across this story called A Precious Gift. There's an ancient legend about a monk who found a precious stone, a precious jewel. A short time later, the monk met a traveler who said he was hungry and asked the monk if he would share some of his provisions. When the monk opened his bag, the traveler saw the precious stone and on the impulse asked the monk if he could have it. Amazingly, the monk gave the traveler the stone. The traveler departed quickly, overjoyed with his new possession. However, a few days later, he came back searching for the monk. He returned the stone to the monk and made a request. He said, "I don't want the stone." He said, What I want from you is that which enabled you to give me the stone." He discovered something more precious than the stone itself, and that was the gift of generosity. His grip on things had been loosened, and he came to realize that there was something more to life. There was something more, and in that he glimpsed the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. Upon finding one, he goes and sells all of his possessions to buy that one pearl. I want you to turn to your neighbor this morning, and I want you to say, "You are one precious pearl." Make sure everybody in the sanctuary hears it this morning. Radio listeners, you are one precious pearl. And you know what Jesus did when he found you? Do you know what he did when he found you? He gave up his life. He gave it all to have you, to be in relationship with you, to love you, to care for you, to create a place for you. You are that pearl of great worth. You are that pearl of great worth who Jesus gave his life for, who he gave it all for. And now he has become that net that gathers you, that net that holds you, that net in which you are cared for, in which you are empowered and taught to see the kingdom, to live out the kingdom, to enact the kingdom, and to be part of that kingdom called his church, where all are welcome, where the doors are flung open wide, where people come to find their net, to make their nest and find their rest, to be fed and nourished, to see light, to see hope, to be strengthened for life. For there are things in this world to be anxious about. Yet God is in control of tomorrow. And so as we seek the kingdom today, let us take care of the troubles of today and let God take care of tomorrow. Amen.